Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of Revelation. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God from every tribe and language and people and kingdom, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Here ends the reading. Be seated. So I've been a pastor for 31 and change years. During those 31 plus years, I've been in a lot of nursing homes. I try to visit nursing home residents who are members of our congregation monthly with communion, and I do a service over there at West Wing on the first Monday of the month. I have observed a lot of nursing homes, and I have observed not all nursing homes are the same. Not all nursing homes are the same. And sometimes in this fallen world, people get sick. And I've seen sick people during those 31 plus years. And I've listened to some of those people who are sick talk about their medical care. Not all doctors are the same. Often those people who are sick end up in the hospital. Not all hospitals are the same. Then there's church. Church, I think, should be something that you like to go to, something that you want to go to. Church, I don't think, should be something that you have to do, something that you dread, like I did for many years. It seemed like the pastor was always saying the same thing every Sunday. Yeah, I get it. Jesus died on the cross to take away my sins. And it seemed like there were always way too many people going up for communion. And I just thought there were maybe better ways to spend your Sunday mornings. And those were the things that I mostly thought about during the church service. So I still cringe every time I hear a pastor talking about how heaven is going to be a lot like church. A lot like church. So these days, I like church. I go to church whenever I get to get the chance. And we went to church three times on a Sunday morning in Galway, Ireland a few years ago, three times. And that's a new thing. I like going to church. I like going to church. But I still cringe every time I hear a pastor talk about heaven being a lot like church. Because when the 10-year-old boy heard that, well, maybe I don't want to spend an eternity in church. Were there alternative heavens? Heavens that did not involve church? Was there perhaps a heaven where it was fun? Or at least not so boring? And you know, the Bible says a lot about heaven. The Bible says that heaven will be like paradise, restored, only better. And look around at God's creation, behold its wonder. What an interesting place is God's creation. And imagine that creation without sin, then multiply that times infinity, and that is heaven. And Jesus compares heaven to a party, like when you get together with friends and family and eat and drink and socialize and get caught up on things, like a party, only no drama. The food and drink never run out. And you don't have the ill effects from overindulging. Multiply that times infinity, and that's heaven. And the absence of things like pain and suffering, war and poverty, anguishing regrets, dying and death, all the things that are a result of the fall into sin, times infinity, that's heaven. And yeah, you know, the pastor's not just making it up. The Bible talks about heaven as a place where worship will take place eternity. And in the book of Revelation, we've been going through this in the Advent midweek services, John talks about heaven. Right before this, John has seen a throne on which sits a king. And he describes the man sitting on the throne as looking like fine, precious stones. And there are also 24 elders surrounding the throne, clothed in white, wearing crowns of gold, bowing down before the throne, and the person on that throne bowing down. That's an act of worship. John 4 sees creatures who are singing, one component of Christian worship, singing, and they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," which we're going to sing here in a few minutes, "who was and is to come. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power," which we just sang about, "for you did create all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And that was the fourth chapter of Revelation. And now in the fifth chapter, we see more heavenly worship, using similar words to those in chapter 4. John continues to see things. He continues to see things, and he continues to hear things. John sees a scroll in the right hand of a man, he calls him, who was seated on the scroll. And there's writings on both sides of the scroll, which is sealed with seven seals, and the number 3, which is the number of God, and the number 4, which is the number of creation, appears quite a bit. The number 7, and 3 times 4, the number 12, it means God working in his creation. There were 12 tribes of Israel where God worked in his creation. There are 12 apostles, God working in his creation through them. That number 12, God working in his creation, continues to be prominent in Revelation and a constant reminder to the reader that God is, in fact, still working in his creation. And in the first century, they needed that constant reminder that God is still working in his creation, because from what they were seeing, well, you could have fooled me. Could have fooled me. And it turns out they did not run out of Christians to crucify in northern Iraq and Syria. Turns out that many of them had gone into hiding. It's what Christians do when people are killing them. And now they're coming out of hiding and they're going home. And they're finding in many cases their homes destroyed in the city of Aleppo, Syria. The Wall Street Journal reported months ago that Syrian air and military strikes were targeting hospitals in Aleppo, Syria. Because that's where the doctors are. The doctors who had treated the victims of the government's chemical warfare and who were witnesses of that chemical warfare. That's why you target the hospitals in Aleppo. And these days, the common thinking in Aleppo, and many of those people are Christians, is that it's better to be killed than to be wounded or injured. Because the doctors are all gone. Because they were at the hospitals. They were witnesses. Revelation. And it's 3, and it's 4, God working in his creation is directed at Christians also like them, who might well have been thinking, could have fooled me, who might today well be thinking, God working in creation, could have fooled me. And it's also John's 7 and 12, God working in creation is directed at the rest of us Christians who might sometimes be thinking, and that scroll that John talks about. It sounds a lot like that scroll in the second chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. The Son of Man in Ezekiel was going to eat the scroll, then go out and preach the word, and he did just that. And that scroll, the one that John sees here, the one sealed with the seven seals, sealed until now, at his time. Nobody has been found worthy to open the scroll and reveal its contents until John says now. Then one of the elders said to me, weep not, lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so he can open the scroll with its seven seals. The Lion of the Root, not the branch, but he's both the Lion of the Root of David. It's messianic. It's talking about Jesus. And a lamb, a lot of sevens, 24 elders, 3 times 4 times 2, and the scene looks a lot like that altarpiece at Ghent, Belgium. That's what it looks like. And it sounds a lot like parts of Divine Service 1, Divine Service 2 in LSB. This is the feast. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. For thou wast slain, by thy blood did ransom men for God from every tribe, every tongue, people, and nation, and have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they reign on the earth. And that's just how this one is worthy to open the seals on the scroll. Because by his blood he paid the ransom that frees all men from their slavery to sin, death, and Satan. Because he has made Christianity a kingdom and priests to God, rulers, he says, on the earth. And this includes Gentiles, all men, all ethnic groups, English speakers, Gaelic speakers, it doesn't matter. That is just how this one is worthy to open the seal on the scroll. And all those things that John says about him are true. By the blood of the Lamb, we have been ransomed from death. The kingdom of God includes all people, including tramps like us Gentiles, and the Christian religion reigns on the earth. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. Stop it in one place, it finds another place to go. Commit religious suicide. Large swathes of the West are doing just that. And others are happy to live. And we've talked about this before. The Southeast Asians seem to be the ones who want eternal life. Like the man said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And maybe we look around sometimes and think to ourselves, yeah, could have fooled me. Could have fooled me. So the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, early church history expert, Dr. William Weinrich, one of the faithful students who did not walk with seminary, a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, sent shortly after that to the present. And I'm old enough now that he allows me to call him Bill, asked me to call him Bill. Dr. Weinrich says that John sees here in his revelation, what he sees here in his revelation sounds a lot like first century Christian worship. And in that soft Oklahoma drawl, Dr. Weinrich says that he thinks that John, here describing what he sees and hears in heaven, may simply be describing what he sees and hears when he goes to church. Heaven as church. I think I've heard that before. So we had a doctor in Kansas who graduated first in her class at KU Medical School. I think she was a good doctor because of that, and she knew how to say the sentence, "I don't know," and even more rare, "I don't know, but I'll look that up and get back to you." Somebody graduated last in her class. I think it was probably the guy I switched from to go to her. Not all doctors are the same. Not all hospitals are the same. Not all nursing homes are the same. Not all church is the same. Some church is better than other church. These days, I won't ever say that I'm sorry I went to church, but there have been times when church has been made into a Sunday morning have to, not a want to, and can't we just maybe bang this thing out on Saturday night and be done with it? So the first church service we went to in Galway, Ireland, was down by the ocean. We took that early morning walk on the beach. It was cold. It was the first church we came to. And we went in and sat down. And I think they were speaking English, but maybe they were speaking Gaelic, but it wouldn't have mattered. Everybody talked so fast, including the priest who was talking faster than anybody else, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. And there was no bulletin. And then we drove into the city center and parked the car, walking down the sidewalk, and we were lured by a siren song coming out of that downtown church. It was the first time we had heard "Eat This Bread," LSB hymn 638, and it was being sung by a beautiful soprano. We went in. They were doing communion. We sat down and listened to great music for a while. They did music very well at that church. So then we left there, walked a little way, and saw a very large church across the river. It was the Galway Cathedral, built in the 60s, a beautiful Romanesque domed cathedral, altar and pulpit in the center, and the priest preached the gospel like a Lutheran. And the band was there from Kearney, Nebraska, and we visited and we enjoyed. Not all churches the same. My co-pastor out in Colorado, if he heard an excellent sermon, he would say that the preacher hit a home run. And if it was really good, he would say that he hit it out of the ballpark. And if heaven is paradise restored, only better. And if heaven is like a party, only better. And if heaven is the absence of things caused by sin, only better, and it is all of those things, what does it mean that heaven is like church? Well, not all church is the same. Last month, on a Saturday night, I sat over there and grinned for about 35 minutes. For the Sunday school Christmas program. That was good stuff. Then I sat in the same place the next morning and grinned for 45 minutes on the Sunday morning. That was cantata day. And heaven is going to be like that, only better. And in heaven, every liturgy will always be beautiful and well done. And there will be solos and duets. And we'll be able to sing that song that the fiddle player played a couple months ago. And every sermon will be out of the park, still going, only better. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.